So over to you. We're going to get some microphones. We're moving some microphones around the room. We've got two, one for either side of the room. Incidentally, this is not a scientifically selected audience, but we gave out 150 tickets or so, didn't we, to local churches, 150 tickets out to humanist and atheist groups, and 150 tickets to... Who took them? I don't know. But you're welcome as well, whoever you are. So we've got two microphones. First gentleman here had his hand up. I'll go first. I am going to try and do that. So anybody over here, particularly if you're a woman, I'm going to go to you next because I like to be gender balanced. Go ahead.
Okay. David, a couple of strands to this question. You believe that Leviticus is the word of God. Okay. Now, whenever you talked about stoning, you referred to the civil code, basically the civil law of Israel. But wouldn't you agree that Leviticus is the legal code in the Old Testament?
I would agree that Leviticus is part of the legal code. It's split into three parts. It's split into the ceremonial, the civil, and the moral.
Okay, Leviticus 22:21, that allows you to stone people for promiscuity. 20:10, that allows you to stone people for adultery. 20:13, you can stone homosexuals. Now, in terms of being the word of God, you'd suggested that it was the civil law of Israel, but Leviticus is the word of God. Isn't it a bit cart before horse to suggest that they're just stoning people because of the civil law?
No, I don't think so. I'm sorry. You see, the interesting thing about that is, as I say, for a Christian, for me, that is a problem. But for somebody who accepts either majoritarian democracy or it's the culture of the time or the principles of the time, then you've got no reason to criticize it. I actually think that what's happening there was that God, if you like, I mean, I think what most atheists do is they tend to say, why didn't God intervene and make all human beings immediately nice?
No, but most atheists say God doesn't exist.
Can we not lump all atheists together?
Michael, quick response to that.
Yeah, isn't it? What most atheists say... What most atheists say is not, why didn't God do this out of order? What most atheists say is God doesn't exist.
Yes, yeah. And I agree that is perfectly correct, and therefore it becomes pointless talking about whether God did or didn't say that.
David, there seems to be... There seems to be an argument that's recurring here, that if you don't have a holy text, you don't have a morality. I seem to be getting that argument from you. Is that what you're arguing?
Getting it from me, I said precisely the opposite. What I said was all human beings are moral, which is why whether people believe in God or not, when you stand before him on the day of judgment, you'll be judged according to what you know and judged according to the morality you have within you. So I am not saying that human beings are moral because they read a religious text. I'm saying they're moral because they're made in the image of God.
So you accept, because you did quote Dostoevsky earlier saying, you know, if there is no God, everything is permissible, which... does seem to suggest there's no moral filter. Do you accept that atheists like Michael or humanists like Michael can have moral principles, can have rational moral systems, and can make moral choices in the world which they can justify?
Yes, because thankfully they're illogical. I did not say, they don't live consistent with their creed. I did not say, by the way, Dostoevsky doesn't say where there is no Bible, you can do what you like. He says, when there's no belief in God, you can do what you like.
Over here. Let me go to another question. Yep.
Well, now you said that man is made in the image of God.
Yes.
Now, do you also accept that man has evolved over millions of years from other animals?
Not over millions of years, but yes, that's a possibility that man has evolved from other animals, yes.
Well, at what point then? Was he made in the image of God?
It says in the Bible that God breathed his spirit into him, because I do believe there is a fundamental difference between human beings and other animals.
Well, at what point was it in Homo sapiens, or was it Homo erectus, or was it other forms of human beings which existed before
Homo sapiens? The interesting thing is, I don't have the omniscient knowledge that many of my atheist friends have. So the answer to that is, I don't know. I don't know. And there was a jibe thrown there about not studying science. Actually, that's also not true. And in my congregation Just now, there are many, many scientists and postdoc scientists, and they argue about there are some things in science that are virtually absolutely certain, nothing, because a true scientist would say nothing is absolutely certain. Even Richard Dawkins says that in 200 years' time, we could find out the theory of evolution was false.
Okay, just let me add one more point, okay?
All yeah. right? Sure.
One last one. You were saying that American society is based on Protestant principles. Well, the Declaration of Independence is based on principles of the French Revolution, and I don't think too many of them are Protestants.
Actually, can I answer that? It does really help if you know your history. The Declaration of Independence was largely written by a Scottish Presbyterian minister, and I kind of hope that he was a Christian.
I'm Brian McClinton of the Humanist Association of Northern Ireland. I think it might have been a good idea in principle to invite two people not from here to speak, but unfortunately, what I found missing is any real reference to Northern Ireland. I'd like to give David a quote from Leckie in the 19th century. He said, the Irish historian, if the characteristic mark of a healthy Christianity is to unite people by a bond of fraternity and love, then there is no country where Christianity has more completely failed than Ireland. And I would suggest if we apply that to Northern Ireland, David, there are at least four ways in which Christianity has failed here. It has failed in, it has not created or it has prevented the development of a liberal, tolerant, inclusive, united, and we could add a fifth one, peaceful society. And if you take liberal and tolerant, I would suggest to you, if you look at many of the measures that, are the hallmark of a liberal and tolerant society, you'll think of things like, as Michael mentioned, same-sex marriage, abortion, assisted dying, integrated education, expansion of the RE syllabus, so that it's not just purely about religion, legalizing humanist settlements. All those things do not exist here, and the main reason they do not exist here is because of the opposition of organized Christianity. And if you look at our troubles, you will see again...
I do think questions should be questions and not speeches, but when you began your question,
I did say you could make a contribution from the
yeah,
floor.
Yeah, but it's a...
Let's be polite.
I am being polite. Yeah. I'm being polite. That was the first of four points. Yeah, no, hang
it's
on.
All right. It's
hang
all right. On. David, just park that point.
You're
allowed
the question.
To respond yeah, yeah. to the contribution.
And I'm responding
Go
to,
for it.
I'm responding to the contribution. I actually was going to agree with you if you'd stopped after the first half of what you'd said. Because I do think that Christianity has failed in Northern Ireland. I agree with that. However, you then...
It's holding Northern Ireland back.
No, I don't. But I think I.
How does that work? Northern Ireland, but it's not holding
well,
it back.
Can I answer his question? But let me tell you why I don't think it's holding Northern Ireland back.
Okay.
Because I think Christianity has failed in Northern Ireland because I actually think that those of us who are Christians have failed, and I think that we need more Christianity, not less. And one of the reasons that we need more Christianity and not less is the second part of Brian's comment. Because it is, to me, appalling that anyone can suggest that a mark of a progressive society is that you want to kill the child in the womb. I don't find that progressive at all. And I would also say this, that I'm beginning to see what this liberal, tolerant society means. I find it astonishing, that somebody who refuses to bake a cake with a message which they fundamentally disagree with ends up being prosecuted. That's what liberal tolerance means. It means you go along with what we say is right, and if you don't, then you will be prosecuted. I don't consider that to be either liberal or tolerant.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that last part. Yeah. I agree with that last part. I don't think that people should be prosecuted for not baking a cake. I think the correct response to that is to go to another trader and to boycott that trader if you disagree with me. I completely reject your analysis of a pregnant woman's right to bodily autonomy and to health and to avoiding the trauma of the aftermath of rape or incest, or to being forced to carry a fetus with a fatal abnormality in the way that you've described it. It is one of the marks of progress that women's rights are being recognised.
Okay. Over there. Let's go to the middle. This side of the room's very quiet. You've got to wake up, guys. Over there. Let's wait until the mic's in front of you. You got it now. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah. You said you wouldn't like to live in a religious society that sacrificed children. Well, if you look at the story of Noah's Ark, where God drowned everybody on the earth except one family, including all the young children, I think that that answers that. On the question too of Noah's Ark, I mean, God gave Noah 7 days to fill up the ark. In that time, he had to go to Australia to pick up a couple of kangaroos. He had got to go to North America to pick up a couple of polar bears. He had got to go to South America to pick up a couple of penguins. And he had to do this all. And then 250,000 species of beetles and all the food and whatnot. So he had to do that. So I'd like to know how he did it. The last thing on the Noah's Ark is the ark, according to the Bible, the ark is 140 meters long by 23 meters wide by 40 meters high, and he had to get two of every animal in the world into that ark. The size of that ark is given in cuboids in the Bible, but that's the actual size of it. Totally ridiculous.
Okay, let me answer that. You know, honestly, I think you need to go to an Answers in Genesis meeting because you and they would get on very well. I'm not here to be ridiculed by somebody who thinks that they're asking really intelligent points by suggesting that Noah, for example, he wasn't asked to build the ark in 7 days, by the way. You do need to get your facts right. And you do, You see, one of the things I find that's quite disturbing is the way that people who haven't studied the Bible come up with stuff that they just pick up and then have a go at this. I want to deal with more serious issues than talking about picking up kangaroos in Australia, if you don't mind. If that's an issue, if that's a real issue for you and it really bothers you and it's stopping you becoming a Christian and you're lying awake at night dreaming about penguins and kangaroos, then can I suggest that what you do is find yourself somebody who's interested, because I'm not. Now, I do have to answer something. I mean, it's okay. I like being mocked as much as anybody else. But I do think Noah's Ark happened. But by the way, let me finish by saying there was an argument made, you see, and this is where the tolerance and so on comes in, in terms of abortion. And I do feel this particularly strongly. The whole question of abortion is not just, we don't just rant at one another about this is a woman's rights and so on. I actually had to do a whole load of research on this, and I found that in Scotland, out of 21,429 abortions in 2012, 129 were for reasons that you described. It's the rest that I'm bothered about just now, and not only this, this whole question is entirely determined by whether there are two bodies involved instead of one. And I don't think that I should be ordered to accept that there's only one, when actually scientifically tells us that there are two bodies.
Do you support the right to abortion in those cases that you've outlined?
I actually think the abortion law here is wrong. I would personally support abortion if the life of the mother was in danger or the baby was not able to be born.
Rape or incest?
Well, because I have met people who are children, who become adults.
Okay, I'll take that as a no.
The answer is no.
Incest.
For the same, and again, the answer is no, for the same reason.
So you think that a woman who has been raped or who is a victim of incest should be forced to continue a pregnancy that she doesn't want to continue with?
No, let me finish. If there are two bodies involved...
Oh, that's your reasoning for it. But can you tell me, do you think she should be forced to?
That's like, I'm sorry, Michael, you know those kinds of questions. You know that when did you stop beating your wife type question. The answer to that question, if people are want to be genuinely serious and think about these issues instead of just ranting and raving at one another, what I would want to say in answer to Michael's question...
Can we pause?
Yeah.
Just to pause. Is the microphone working? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a Christian to be against abortion, right, Michael? Yeah. You can make a non-religious argument against abortion. You accept that?
That's right. The position of Atheist Ireland on that is, first of all, we support a woman's right to choose. But one of the main things in terms of abortion law in the Republic of Ireland is that it is controlled by an amendment that was put into our constitution explicitly to enshrine Catholic religious belief into the constitution.
That's your objection.
And that's how when that amendment is removed, then the politicians legislate for abortion
and then
on the
atheists
basis of whatever
ethics. And humanists might have different views on abortion.
Of course they
might. And they
yeah.
do have different views on abortion. Yeah. Okay.
And I actually
so
would agree with you on that.
So let's not get too bogged down on abortion, yeah. given yeah. that yeah. the focus of the evening is Christianity within our society. Oh, someone on this side. Now, you have had your hand up for a while. Can we make these questions quick and responses quick? I'll get through quite a few of them. You look like you could do with some exercise, Rob, so that's great.
Hi, can you hear me? Oh,
yes.
Okay, it's weird. I thought of so many questions for you, David, but everything you answer is contradictory. So I'm going to direct this to Mike instead. I'm an atheist, but I've known a lot of Christians who are very liberal in their beliefs. You know, they follow the zeitgeist. And, you know, there's a lot of Christians trying to end the troubles here. Yeah, I don't really believe that Christianity has held Northern Ireland back when you consider the troubles as a whole. You know, a lot of priests, a lot of ministers brought people from both communities together.
I've never suggested that religious people are bad people. I think religious people can be as good as atheists. We have a natural morality, and those religious people were following their natural morality of empathy and compassion and reciprocity and cooperation and fairness and justice, and what they managed to avoid the corruption of that morality that the Christian texts can bring into their morality.
Thank you.
Hi. Oops, there we go. My name's Megan. I'm from Texas. No, we're not a race. But don't worry, I'm not offended. Actually, right now I live in Scotland, and I'm with the Scottish Secular Society. And I have a question specifically for the Northern Ireland perspective on all this, especially coming from Texas. I'm very curious. Fantastic. do you both think a secular... government and society would be beneficial for Northern Ireland, and that's where the government has no play in telling religions what they should do, and the religion has no control in the government.
Both agree that secularism, not atheism, not Christianity, but secularism, separation of church and state, would be a good thing for this society. You've already made the argument for that, Michael.
One nuance to what Tony said. I don't believe that the government shouldn't be able to tell churches what to do. I think churches should be subservient to the government in that they are an organisation within society that has to follow the law in the same way as anybody else does. Because one of the problems that we have, particularly with the Catholic Church, is they seem to think that Vatican canon law takes precedence over the law of the land, and that isn't the case.
So, for example, if churches want an employment law, churches have an exemption in employment law because they want to employ someone who is, you know, whose beliefs are consistent with their own religious beliefs,
yeah.
which means that they could...
I think they should have that exemption.
Isn't that reasonable?
They should have that exemption for roles that are essential to the carrying out of the religion. In other words, if they want to say, if a priest obviously has to be a Catholic, but it doesn't mean that the gardener of the church has to be a Catholic.
All right. Where are you on the secular... question on separation of church and state?
Well, I am I'm for it, basically. I think that though the concept of a neutral secular government is impossible, I think that many people use secularism as a guise, basically, for their atheism. And I think that what Michael has said just now, in Northern Ireland, we do actually have a secular government. We don't have a church government. It's a secular government. And I'm glad that there is a secular government. However... In Northern Ireland, of course, it's a secular government. It's I'm sorry, but you in Northern Ireland, it is a secular government. The churches do not appoint the ministers of state or whatever. It is a secular government. Now, what Michael has said should send shivers down anyone's spine, and for me, it does, because what Michael has said is that we as a church should be told what to do by the state. And I will say it will be a cold day in hell before I let any government tell me how I should run my church and what should be done in the church, what we should believe, and how we should act upon it. This is the kind of secular totalitarianism. Every single state in the world says it has religious freedom, even Saudi Arabia.
Look, yeah. Nobody said any of those things. Nobody said any of those things. You've just invented that in the same way as you've invented your God.
Did you not just say that the church, the government should be able to tell the church what to do?
That the government should be able to tell everybody to obey the democratically agreed laws of the land, and the idea that you should have some sort of exemption that puts you above the law simply because you believe that the creator of the universe is telling you things is anti-democratic. But
I think we seem to be having a real problem with context and definitions tonight. So what we have is atheists are being put in one big massive group and all being essentially saying that atheists are all the same. We all have the same beliefs. Atheists have the same lack of one belief. That is what atheism is. I don't believe in God. So you can't attack atheists and say that they're all working in the same way together for the same things. Secularism is different. But when it comes to Christianity and the question tonight, is Christianity holding Northern Ireland back? We have to define Christianity because David has just suggested that Michael is attacking a straw man. But the problem with Christianity is, let's say there's 1 billion Christians in the world, there's 1 billion different versions of Christianity. Everybody has their own personal take on what Christianity is. Cafeteria Christianity, what I call it. You pick and choose every day what you want. I'm not trying to patronize or say that, create another straw man. But if we're going to suggest what Christianity is in Northern Ireland, and is it holding Northern Ireland back today? Yes, it is. Northern Ireland has Christianity in the DUP, and the DUP are the most homophobic and bigoted group, and they're the strongest party in Northern Ireland. But they have too many of their decisions based on their religious beliefs. So therefore, it's not secular. They're allowing their religious beliefs to be brought into politics, and those politics then divide people and hold them back. So we have to, I haven't done it well, but we have to define what Christianity is. Which version, David, of Christianity are we attacking? Which one can we attack? Which one can't we attack? Because you can't just say it's a straw man when it's something you don't agree with. If it's something for God...
Well, there are two things that make me quite curious in that question. The one is that, you know, the standard one, an atheist is just someone who doesn't believe in God. Atheists don't have the same beliefs. I kind of like that to be true. But every atheist group that I go to and speak to, they all come up with the same stuff. And I'm thinking, is this a remarkable coincidence that they just all happen to believe and say the same things, even though a definition of atheism is just someone who doesn't believe in God? So I'm curious about that. I'm also curious about the statement which was delivered with such authority that you have 1 billion different Christians and 1 billion different versions of Christianity. It's just empirically not true. It's just absolutely not true. So, for example, I'm sure there are a few Christians here, and I suspect that whilst we might disagree on secondary things, all of us agree on what the basics are. And I find myself in a position where, for example, when I read the previous Pope's books on Jesus of Nazareth, I'm going, yeah, you got the Mary stuff wrong, but the rest of it you've got right. And I regard someone like him, believe it or not, I would regard someone like him as a Christian brother, my Baptist brothers and sisters, people with different backgrounds. So I think it's a little bit rich and disingenuous and wrong to say that there are 1 billion different versions of Christianity.
Just to clarify what atheism is and what atheists have and don't have in common. Atheism is either not believing that there are gods or else believing that there are no gods. Now, there is a slight distinction that goes slightly beyond that. If you don't believe that there are gods, you don't believe that we get our morality from gods, and you don't believe that we get our sense of reality from gods. And those are two significant worldviews to have in a world where most people believe the opposite. It's quite easy to say, for example, there's something that some atheists will say is atheism is like not collecting stamps, and you don't have organizations for not collecting stamps. Now, that's true. But if you had a situation where the majority of people in the world believed that the post office created the universe and that you had to check your stamp collection before you passed laws, then you would have organizations dedicated to not collecting stamps.
Hi, I'm speaking as a member of the post-Good Friday generation, and we've been talking a lot of like evolution of Christian beliefs, and I think as a study of Northern Ireland, they've been less strongly held, you know, but they've made more concessions, as seen in gay marriage, which has been voted in, you know, but obviously it was blocked. And I think if you find the amount of young people here would support things like gay marriage, and we'd be less inclined to vote in a government who would run it through Christian values. And I'd just like to say, Michael, are you confident that Christianity in Northern Ireland will become an irrelevance? And David, do you fear that?
Yes, I do think that that is the direction that the world is going. Again, if you go back to the World Values Survey, the world is becoming more secular at different speeds in different places. And what is happening is that as secular morality overtakes the old morality of religions, and as science overtakes the reality claims of religions, that people have two options. Some people, and thankfully it's the majority in the Western world, are becoming more secular, and then others are retreating from those new claims by becoming more fundamentalist. So both of those things are happening at the same time, but the overall direction is in favour of secularism.
And David, do you feel that?
Well, for Northern Ireland, can I just come to Northern Ireland just a second, just to say Michael there said something, which he keeps talking about reality. And then quoting things that are unreal, because in terms of religion declining in the world, actually in the past decade, more people, there's a higher percentage of people who are now profess themselves as religious. Northern Ireland and Western Europe and even America, they are not the world. There are more Christians in China now than there are in the whole of Europe. So, and I'm looking at Africa, I'm looking at the enormous growth of the church, and I know that Richard Dawkins, one of the reasons he wrote The God Delusion was because he was horrified at how many young people in Oxford University had become Christians. So I don't know. The way that the trends are going at the moment, I believe that Northern Ireland is going to go the route that Scotland has gone even quicker. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think that people are living for a fantasy. They're saying, if only we get rid of religion, then we'll have this wonderful secular utopia. And I suggest you read someone like John Gray. John Gray's an atheist. His book, Black Mass, where he looks at how atheistic, secularist, enlightenment utopias have created so much harm. And yes, young people in Northern Ireland, because of the influence of the zeitgeist and the culture, I suspect they're going to reject much of Christianity, but I think that will be disastrous for Northern Ireland, and I pray it doesn't happen.
Hiya, my name is Boyd Slater. I'm the chair for Atheist Northern Ireland, and just at the very start of your talk, David, you said, where are the, you know, the atheist food banks. Well, just to let you all know, on Sunday we have a food drop at the Mac. So if you want to bring along any tinned goods, we're doing that. And the next bit is that you said that we get our morality from God because we're made in the image of God. And if that's the case, then do I get my morality from a God who wiped out the entire planet in Genesis, apart from six people? Or do I get my morality from a God who asked Abraham to kill his only son or his son? Do you think that's a good place for me to get my morality from, or what's the crack with that?
First of all, let me congratulate you for the first part of your comment or question. I'm glad to see that atheists have been provoked unto love and good works, and I'm delighted that you're copying. I'm delighted that you're copying the Christians. Keep it up. Maybe one day you'll also start some schools and so on. Yes, atheist education. Can I also say that I'm delighted that there are atheist churches starting up as well. And I'm sorry that there's been a split in the atheist church movement already, but never mind. Your second question, which wasn't really a question, it was more an accusation, the answer would be, if you find out about the God of the Bible and who he really is, and not the caricatured cartoon version that you seem to have fed yourself, then what you will find that he is a God of mercy and of love, and a God of justice, and a God who sent his son for us, to die for us, even though we as a human race have utterly corrupted and are destroying his planet and destroying one another. Now, it's easy to set up a caricatured version of God and say, ah, I don't believe in that. And I'm saying, if you're serious, and I mean serious about rejecting or accepting God, then find out. And it seems to me that the question you presented was a caricature, mocking question, which got the applause that you expected it to get, but it's not reality.
So respond to that then. Are these stories not in the Bible? Am I missing out on something? And then, I mean, you know, have I lost out on something there? And you said that God sent his only son for a human sacrifice. Is this something that we think is a good thing, to sacrifice humans? Come on. I mean, you've just said that's a good one.
I just want to point out that you accused us of caricaturing Christians in the same contribution as you suggested that atheists were doing good things because we're copying Christians.
Yes, that was my first remark. I apologize for it. It was a facetious joke, but obviously the atheist sense of irony is like the American one. And that was also a joke. And that was but Americans aren't a race, remember? Now, or at least that's what I was told before, but then you never know with that atheist morality. It keeps changing according to the zeitgeist. Now, no, but let me come back to this comment, because again, you see, you did it again. Because instead of asking a question in order to elicit information, you just made a mocking statement, is it not in the Bible? I'm saying to you that the story is in the Bible, but until you get context and who God is, then you are not going to be able to understand that. And of course, all day, people are going to throw in questions. What about this? What about that? What about that? And to be honest, I'm quite happy answering those questions, except when they're not questions, when they're accusations. I don't believe you are asking a question. I think you are just making an accusation.
Thank you very much. Next question.
Hello. Hi. Okay. My name's Diana, and I'm a member of the Donald Baptist Church. There's a lot of talk tonight about Christianity, and I think living in Northern Ireland, that term is really muddied. There's a difference between Christianity and religion. So I'd just like to ask both of you what your definition is of Christianity, so we know when we're talking about it what you actually think it means to be a Christian. Thank you.
Good question.
Start first, Michael, or do you want to start? Who's keen to start?
Well, he's the expert.
Oh, David, you're the expert. Okay. Thank you very much.
For me? What is your definition of Christianity?
The essential bits. My definition of Christianity is just simply, a Christian for me is someone who follows Jesus Christ. And I think there's a huge amount of cultural Christianity, which, by the way, Northern Ireland suffers from, and which any society will suffer from. I think the biggest disaster that ever happened to the gospel is when Christianity became associated with political power. And I think that's a disaster. And for me, Christianity is about following Jesus Christ and telling the good news of Jesus Christ to people. And to me, that also includes believing his word, because I think we learn about Jesus from the Bible.
I think the more you talk, the more you're going to add on to this. Because I assume that you mean, by following Jesus Christ, you believe he's God. You believe he rose from the dead.
Yeah, the Jesus of the Bible, Depeche Mode, your own personal Jesus.
So just to be clear, because you could be a non-subscribing Presbyterian who doesn't believe that Jesus was God, maybe, and follow Jesus.
No, you're not following Jesus.
Okay, so there we are. So they're not Christians. So yes. What do you mean by Christian?
Someone who follows Jesus.
It's not enough.
And if you're asking me, who is Jesus?
Definition.
Well, I tell you what, I belong to an organization called Solas, right. And we accept as Christian anyone who can sign up to the Apostles' Creed and actually mean it.
Okay, that's a lot of stuff.
No, it's not. It's about 10 lines.
Trinity has got everything to life after death. Yeah.
You're not a Christian if you don't accept the Trinity.
Okay, so the Apostles' Creed is your definition. Michael, what's your understanding of Christian?
There was an opinion poll in Ireland during the Eucharistic Congress where Irish Roman Catholics were asked what they believed, and it turned out that 75% of them didn't believe in transubstantiation, which is one of the key distinctions between two types of Christianity, that they're supposed to be on the other side of. 50% of them didn't believe in hell, 15% didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and my personal favourite, 8% didn't believe in God, which I would have thought would have been a low hurdle for being a Catholic. So I think it is flexible. I think different Christians will have their own definition of Christianity, but the Christian institutional churches, as religions, I think there's a difference between people's personal beliefs about Christianity and institutional churches, which I think are about controlling people rather than about personal beliefs.
At all? Yeah. A little bit. Debbie? Not really, no. Okay. I feel your pain. Anybody else got a microphone in front of... Could you bring the microphone a little bit closer to the audience? That would be great. Over here. This gentleman here has been waiting with his hand in the air and is getting sick, I think, waiting. Go ahead.
Hello, David. You just had a bit of a cheap shot there at churches. And I think you've had a few splits of your own down in history. You know, you talked about the atheist church having split. I think you've had a few schisms of your own. But I just want to ask you one question about the secularism of our country. And you're saying that we have a secular country. Yeah. Well, I just want to ask you this question. If the leaders of my country believe in talking snakes, and dead men can get up and walk, and a ghost can get a woman pregnant, that doesn't sound very secular to me. Do you not think I have the right to question their powers of reason and their ability to lead the country?
Wow. Okay. One, I'm amazed at the question. Two, I'm even more astonished that people clapped it, but never mind. Here's my problem. First of all, again, first part, yes, Presbyterians have occasionally sometimes had splits in churches. It has been known. Some have gone to Northern Ireland, gone to America, got themselves a degree, and just come back and started their own Presbyterian church as well. You said we live in a secular country, which presumably, I do, and a secular country means that people are voted on by people, a democracy, because I'm still on the democracy thing. I really don't like this idea of not having a democracy. I think that people should, people are voted on because of that. What they believe or what they don't believe is not subject to your veto. You can vote for them or not. That's what it means to be in a democracy. You decide to mock them, not to understand where they're coming from, to caricature them in that way. But the premise of your question seems to be simply this. Unless you don't believe, you can't be elected. And I think that's appalling.
By the way, you could ask Michael a question.
This is for both of you.
Thank you.
I'm trying to get back to the core point of the debate, which I think you actually agree on. To be honest, it's very difficult to get through to your argument because your smugness would be a possible word for it. It's very difficult to get what you really mean. But I think taking it smugness,
Here, just be clear about that. Okay.
I think, basically, the problem with Christianity in Northern Ireland, we can agree, is when it's used as a basis to make laws, which I think you said you don't want to have either, that you think our morality doesn't come from the Bible, that our morality comes from something within us. Michael, you believe in a society where we as a people, and in whatever society is, agree what the laws should be. So whether that comes from our innate humanness or our God part inside of us, I think we can agree that Christianity as a legal, as a basis from the Bible, biblical morality, shouldn't be part of our society. But actually we should, as a society, individuals, make our laws, make our society, make our own conscience as a society. And I think that is something you both agree on. And I think that's really the problem. Christianity has held us back because it's been used as a biblical black and white text. This is what the law should say. Homosexuality is an abomination, therefore it should be against the law. Type society in the past, and that's where it's held our society back.
In terms of secularism and religious beliefs, is that if we are to have a society where everybody's views and beliefs are respected equally, and where everybody is treated equally before the law, and where laws are made based on the common good while respecting the individual human rights of individuals, then you may believe that you have a position on something because God tells you. But you have to bring into the public space an argument that is accessible to everybody. So you have to, whatever you may think that God is telling you, in order to convince other people within a democracy, you have to put forward arguments that are based on the world that we live in, because that's the world that we all share in our democracy.
Okay. I actually basically agree with that. For example, my arguments against same-sex marriage were, I never once in a debate on same-sex marriage said, I'm against,
you're
it.
Against it.
No, wait a minute. Yes. No, no, I never said I was against it.
You said it didn't exist.
No, I never said I was against it or whatever because the Bible said or this or that. I argued from what I would call common law / common sense. Because incidentally, 20 years ago, nobody was for same-sex marriage, and all of a sudden, suddenly it's a natural human thing and everyone knows it, which makes me very suspicious when that happens. But you did say something. You said two things. One, I've noticed this happens a lot with what I would call, not all atheists, and I'm not going to put Michael in this category because having spoken to him, I don't think he fits, and it's not fair to lump a whole group. But I have come across people who are what I would call fundamentalist atheists, who, whatever happens, whenever you contradict them or whenever you argue against them, they call you names. Now, I'm sorry if it comes across as smug, just disagreeing with atheism, but that's where I am. I can't do anything other. And the second thing I would say about your actual presupposition, I'm glad that Michael doesn't want to eradicate, because the motion, I think, is a bit unfair, because the motion does suggest removing Christianity from Northern Ireland. And I'm glad he doesn't want that, Northern Ireland, that Christianity is holding Northern Ireland back. But I didn't say that I wouldn't want the laws to be based upon Christian principles. I believe in a secularism that is a Christian secularism. And I actually think that although people, you see, but it's not atheist secularism either. Wait a minute. But I find it very interesting that although you accuse me of being smug, my atheist brothers and sisters here, they laugh at the very even concept. And yet, if you do any serious research and look into it, and I am a historian, you will find that the only versions of secularism where you get the liberty, equality, and democracy have been coming from a Christian background. And I'm saying you throw that out, you're going to end up with a very, very different secularism, and that's where we're heading. And smugly you sit there and smile and laugh and sneer as though it was obvious we're heading for utopia once we chuck out Christianity. I'm saying we're not. I'm saying we're heading for hell if we do that.
Just to sort out this smugness thing, because I don't think it's helpful and I don't think you are being smug, but can I just clarify? I'm happy to say about anything that I say here, about the existence of gods, about secularism, about anything, that I may be mistaken. Are you happy to say the same?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think that's a positive thing, a positive starting place that perhaps we might have started the discussion
well,
with.
No,
and it might have helped to avoid people perceiving things as
I assume
being
that every... No.
Yes, that is the case, because you can be atheist and agnostic. Atheism is about what you believe. It's about, do you believe there's a God, do you not believe there's a God? Agnosticism is claiming that you can know something. You can be a strongly atheist, and I strongly believe that there's no God, and therefore I am an atheist. I also don't claim to be able to know that there's no God, so I'm also an agnostic. They're not mutually exclusive.
And can I also say that I find Michael to be more honest than many people who call themselves secularists or humanists, when in reality, I mean, it's interesting, we don't have atheist Scotland. I'm wondering if we have atheist England. But atheist Ireland, that's a very interesting concept. And I find...
Atheism UK.
I find your position actually to be, actually quite honest. And the reason that when you say about not knowing, believe you me, as a Christian, because I realize my mind is limited, and because I realize the weakness of human nature, of course, there are many, many things that we don't know. And I have been wrong in things before. I did think Scotland were going to win the World Cup.
A very, very brief answer from both of you. Given that you both accepted that you think you could be wrong, how would you know if you're wrong?
Well, a good start, if there was a God that was all-powerful, all-good, all-knowing, would be maybe get rid of evil in the world, maybe tell everybody the same thing instead of telling different things to different people at different times. A couple of other things, but they'd be good starts.
So a perfect world where everybody believes the same thing would be an argument for God's existence for you?
No, what I said is if there was a God who was all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good, first of all, they would be able to create a world without unnecessary suffering. They would be able to create a world without tsunamis, without earthquakes, without mass murders and genocides. Shouldn't be too tricky to be able to do that. He's supposed to be able to do it in heaven. Why can't he do it on earth? And then the second thing is that if this God has created a universe of 100 billion galaxies, each of which contains 100 billion stars like our sun, all for the benefit of human beings on planet Earth, which seems a bit unlikely, you'd think the least that he'd be able to do is give the same message to each of us rather than telling this group to kill that group and that group to kill this group.
Okay, before I come to David, let me rephrase the question. How in this world would you know that you're wrong?
Well, this world is the world in which, the real world in which we live. If there is a God that is outside of this world...
A believer. That's okay. Not the question. Okay. I know you're appealing to the problem of evil to explain to me why you're not a believer. That's not the question. How would you know you're wrong is the question. In this world, which isn't a perfect world, how would you know you're wrong?
Well, it's hard to tell because you could be just...
In other words, mistaken. Your belief even in principle falsifiable?
Again, it depends on what people mean by a God. If the God is if you're talking about God as whatever it is that caused the universe to be, I'm quite open to saying I don't know what caused the universe to be. Science has yet to find out what happened before the Big Bang. Science has yet to find out what caused life to happen. We know how life evolved after it happened. We don't know how it started. Science has yet to find out the nature of consciousness. There are a lot of things like that are still big questions that we don't understand. And it may be the case that we're not going to be capable of understanding. We may have to evolve into something else before we understand. And when we reach that stage...
I guess what I think, yeah. Michael, is you didn't give us the right answer to the first question. You don't think you could be wrong. Because no. your position cannot even in principle... be falsifiable, and you can't imagine circumstances in which it could be. So the right answer to the question was no, I couldn't be wrong.
No, I don't. You're right that I don't know how it could be falsifiable.
Yeah.
But if somebody can come up with an explanation as to how it could be falsifiable that I'm not aware of, then I can examine it on the basis of that.
Question to you.
Sure. We need to have another conversation about that second part because I think there are plenty of reasons why that could be. And by the way, let me say simply that God didn't create the billions of stars just for the sake of mankind. He created it for his own glory. They declare his glory, not ours. But how could I be? Yes. Is my position wrong? Yes, very simply. If you could bring me the bones of Jesus, my faith's done. Also, in the next world, if I die... and it turns out it's all wrong, it will be completely wrong. And I'll give you one other one.
David, there are churches all over Europe who claim to have part of the body of Jesus in relics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think there's something like 300 complete crosses of Jesus that are found all over the place. And if you want to go back to medieval...
There's
no, they're not the bones of Jesus.
Ah, right.
I said, bring me the bones of Jesus. So you can use the DNA
or
whatever.
Even when people in churches present you with what they think are bones, you say, they're not the bones.
I'm sorry.
So, same problem.
No.
Is your position?
No. That is very unfair. Because here's the problem. My wife, for example, works in mental health. When I go in and visit a psychiatric union and someone comes up and says, "Hi, I'm Moses," or "I'm the devil," or "I'm Jesus," or "I'm Mary," I'm not going to say, "Oh, well, I have to accept it." When someone brings me the bones, I know they're not the bones of Jesus. If you could bring me the bones of Jesus, not what someone's... Well, let's say you could do DNA tests or you could have some way of... And let me give you another one.
The bones of Jesus.
No.
You cannot possibly know when you have the bones of Jesus.
Well, actually, let's... You asked for an example.
So your position's non-falsifiable
No, you asked for an example. I'll give you another example. In the context of this debate... In the context of this debate, if you could show me any society ever, or if there was a society to come in my lifetime in which human beings completely rejected God and yet lived nirvana, then I'd say, okay, I got it wrong. Because there are certain things that are taught that I believe to be axiomatic to the truth of the Bible, one of them being that all human beings are sinful and we're always going to screw up. And I don't believe that a secular nirvana or a religious nirvana will happen on this earth. And if that would happen, it would disprove my whole faith.
If I could show you a perfect world, that would prove
if you could
wrong.
Show me a basically perfect society.
Right, that's
not
that's,
a perfect
that's
world.
That's a pretty high bar for epistemology, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is a high
right,
bar.
Okay, yeah. All right.